Well, good morning. Good morning. Hey, there we go. We're awake. All right. Well, y'all are going to be in trouble today. I brought my big Bible, which means I'm going to read more. No, it doesn't mean that. I left my other Bible. I'm an administrator for a special ed school, summer school program, and I took my Bible to my office of a building that I don't have keys to. And when I did, I left it there inadvertently, and so I had to get my backup Bible, which happens to be like, I don't know, the Bible King James himself used. So it's rather large, but actually it's not bad because it has bigger print, and I don't have to get any glasses. It makes me feel younger. Some of you out there know the effects of age. For some reason, your eyes just have a tendency to not be able to focus as well. And I have to keep looking at my Bible further and further away. I don't know why that is. At least I don't have to look at it up close. That could be bad. Well, let's go ahead and open up with prayer, because I believe God's got given me a message for you today that is definitely pertinent and apropos for where we are and what we're doing, and where you are and what you're doing. So let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your word to light our way and our pathways through life's journey. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, each and every one of us who came here today, sit down in one of these nice little padded seats to come and learn and to hear from you, to be inspired by you, to seek you more, to grow further in our walk with you, to help to fulfill the plan that you have for our lives and for this community. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. I've entitled this, Pray for Rain. And you're probably thinking, well, Pastor Steve, we're not going through a drought. And I can remember one time when there was a drought here, many, many years ago. And we were actually praying for rain. And we're going to talk about that just briefly here. But let me read the scripture. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Elijah, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot, and get down, that the rain stop thee not. Okay, now that's King James English. Let me read it to you in plain American standard. It says that it came about at the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. I felt as though God wanted me to entitle this Pray for Rain, because I want to really talk about the nourishing that rain brings. Now, I want to also distinguish and delineate the difference between a rain and a storm. Now, a few years back when I lived here, we had a really bad drought. It was going on and on and on, and the farmers were complaining even more than they normally complain, and they needed some rain, desperately needed some rain. And so I talked with Sonny Wiemeyer, who is a farmer here and has several thousand acres and multiple crops and stuff. And I said, well, how much rain do you need? He says, oh, I need several inches. And he goes, if I don't, this is going to be a total wreck, total disaster. You know, because they invest. They go out and get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of loans, and they buy seeds and fertilizers and things that they need to work the ground, thousands of acres, and they spend all this time, all these hours, they're planting, sometimes before the sun comes up and before the sun goes down, so they can get all the seed into the soil. And they do all this work, and they're keeping the machines running, they're keeping everything going, they get everything done in a certain time frame. Then they wait. And they wait. And it rains. And the sun shines. And they watch over the crops. And they make sure that everything's flowing. When the rain will rain, that it doesn't just sit, but that it flows evenly. And they're looking at this the whole time. Well, it had come to pass that several days had passed and several weeks now, and we're getting to the point where it's critical, because as the plants continue to grow, certain things have to have rain at a certain time in order to produce good fruit. They make a lot of feed corn here, and that's what he has. And at a certain part, a certain time, when the plant gets to a certain height and a certain age, it has a little curly thing inside of it, the way they explain it. And if it doesn't get the right amount of water, that curly thing doesn't grow long enough to cause the corn stalk to grow tall enough. It'll come out like a midget corn stalk. And unless you're feeding, you know, midget cattle, or you're making those little corns that go inside some of the Asian food here in the Chinese food places, you might as well forget about it. So he wants this giant stuff, and this is not edible. This is not eating corn. This is going to be for livestock. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's make a deal. I will pray for rain if you come to church. He said, if you can bring rain, I'll go to church. All right. I'll pray for rain. And I prayed. And it rained. And so I came back to him. I said, hey, you got some rain, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, you got to keep your end of the bargain. He goes, well, actually, I needed 3 inches of rain and it only got 2. I said, oh. Don't be tempting God like that. I said, I don't know if I, that's pretty shaky ground there, sonny. And he looked at me, kind of grinned, never did come to church. But I remember I prayed and it rained, and he said, oh, it was just an inch shy. And I'm thinking, okay, that's the last time I pray for rain for you, boy. But rain is a nourishing thing. It is a blessing. If we don't have rain, you're not going to have any plants. If you don't have plants, if you're a vegetarian, you're not going to be able to eat. And if you are not a vegetarian, the things that eat the plants that you kill and that you eat are going to die. In essence, if you don't get rain, you will starve. And you will probably eventually die of thirst, malnutrition. Famine is a horrible thing. Now, when you're praying for rain, you're not praying for Claudette to come tromping through the middle of your backyard. Please, Lord, let it rain. All of a sudden, a hurricane comes. 140-mile-an-hour winds blowing trees over on top of houses. That's not the kind of rain that is nourishing. So delineating the difference between a radical, freak, destructive storm and rain. Rain is nourishing. It feeds life. It's a blessing. It's a provision. It's giving us a necessity. And I believe it is a gift from God. It is a sign of His hand and His promise that He will continue to meet our needs. Not just of you, every person sitting in here, but of also of the birds of the air, and the plants and the trees. Doesn't He say He clothes them in greenness and greatness? That's how He does it. or provision. Is a blessing. And I want to liken this blessing into a personal blessing or a personal provision. See, it's those little things in life that keep us going. Just like a plant needs a little water now and then, and our physical body needs a little water now and then, our spiritual body needs a little spiritual water, a quenching of our soul every now and then. We do. Otherwise, why? Why get up in the morning? Why breathe? Why have our purpose as we walk through life? Why do we care about whatever we care about? We're looking for joy, peace, love, a sense of purpose, a sense of being. And so I want to challenge us, as we are praying for our personal reign, that we pray and that we get a personal vision of a blessing or a provision from God for our lives. Now, I notice at your church, you have a personal vision for the church. There's a church vision. Comfort Community Church is a purpose-driven church based on God's five purposes: worship, fellowship, teaching, service, and mission. Our focus is to love more, grow more, serve more, and witness more. And how many of y'all are doing that? Are y'all doing that? I hope everybody in here is doing that. Because you need to be doing at least a part of it. Because that's your focus, that's your vision. Otherwise, if it was something different, it would be Comfort Community Church is a purpose-driven church. Our purpose is to meet every Sunday and Wednesday, to have functions like Discovery Camp for our teens, and to drink tea and coffee and eat donuts when Mr. Martin comes to teach Sunday school. That is not your mission. That is not your vision. That is not your purpose for being. Your purpose for being is that you love more, grow more, serve more, and witness more. That's awesome. So your personal vision of seeking God for what you have needs to probably fall into this greater vision of your church in order for you to be pleasing to God. So get a vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So it is important that we have a vision. The way I always look at it is, if you want to know where you want to go, you have to look at where you're at, and you have to know where you're going to, where it is that you're going, so you'll know when you have arrived. If I say I'm going to go and I'm going to watch a football game, well, I better plan on, number one, who I'm going to go see, when I'm going to see him, and where I'm going to see him. That way I'll know, I'm standing here in the Reliance Center watching the Houston Texans getting throttled by the Dallas Cowboys. But I made it to a football game, okay? I made it to a game. I've accomplished my goal. I've accomplished my task, my vision. So you must, first of all, define your vision. Define your goal. What is it that you're setting out to do? How do we define, and these are some things, how do we define our personal success? How do you define personal success in the spiritual realm? Well, Pastor Steve, you know, if I memorize 1,000 scriptures, then I will have made it to the point of spiritual perfection. No, probably not. That's a great, great, wonderful goal. But I don't know that necessarily that would be exactly the only thing that you need to do to fulfill a personal vision. I think that's a wonderful goal, but what is the purpose of that goal? A spiritual vision, a personal vision, is going to have more of a long-lasting effect. It's going to be something that God has directed you, something God has empowered you. You have talents and abilities that are uniquely yours. And they weren't given to you so that you could take them, set them away in a nice little area, and that you could hide them, and hopefully someday you may be able to capitalize on these hidden talents. You know, one day I'm going to get these talents out, and they're going to be very profitable for myself and for my church. Maybe they'll be, you know, maybe I can use them to make a little bit of money on the way. God has given you a talent. If you don't use your talent, the parable talks about the person that took the talents or the money and the value and the resources, and he did what? He buried it. What happened to that person? What happens to what God had given him? One invested it, he returned a profit. Another invested, he returned a profit. What happened to the one who buried it? What happened? It was what? Do y'all know the story? It was taken from him. God said, you're not going to use this talent, I'm just going to take it from you. So we need to invest our talents in God. We need to establish a vision, a godly vision. Our vision should be defined in a way that you can measure God's success in your life. It may include helping others, giving to missions, winning lost people to God, building godly character, establishing prayer time, or memorizing scripture. An example of a personal vision that you may have, it can be a small vision. I don't want to, you know, Lord, I want to win all of Africa for you. Okay, well, that may be, you know, a wonderful ambition, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to be a personal vision or a personal goal. And there's going to be, I'm not going to get into the details. I know that there are people out there that talk about visions and goals, and they're very delineated about what the definition of a vision is and what the definition of a goal is. I want you to just go ahead, and I want you to start by doing something. And you can call it a vision, you can call it a goal, but it needs to be a challenge, something you are challenging your spirit, that you felt God's wanting you to step out in. Here's an example of that. I will lead 4 people to the Lord in 1 year. A personal vision, a personal goal. Now, some visions may last several years. Some may only last a year, 6 months. But you have to ask yourself 3 things in your personal vision. And then we'll look at this and we'll analyze this example very briefly. Is it, number 1, attainable? Is it attainable? I will lead 4 people to the Lord in 1 year. Yes, that is attainable. Okay? It's a lot more realistic than saying, I'm going to win all of Africa in 1 year. Okay? Would that be attainable? Maybe, probably not. More than likely, probably not. Not all of Africa, unless something dramatic happened. But you have to say, is it attainable? And in that, there's 2 different things you need to look at. Is it possible or probable? Let's analyze. 4 people to the Lord in a year. Is that possible? Yes. Is it probable? Yes. Why is it probable? Well, it's probably going to happen because it's not a very big challenge. What if I said 400 people in 1 year? Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? Not unless God does something. And that's where your faith comes in. If God gives you a vision that is bigger than yourself, it's usually God. I never will forget one time I was, when I was youth pastor there in Point Comfort. And they came to me and they said, the leadership said, I want you to have 3 youth rallies in 1 week. 3 different youth rallies. And this is when we had, some of you probably, it's been long ago, we had an exhibition rodeo, and we had 2 different groups, a master's commission come down with about 10 people, and then the Second Timothy Project, which was another group with about 10 people. We went to, I think it was about 10 different schools and did assemblies. So I'm arranging all these assemblies. I'm taking off time at work. And then on top of all this, he says, I want you to have 3 youth rallies, one on Monday, one on Wednesday, and one on Thursday. And I was like, God, I can't do this. Maybe 1 rally in a month, but not 3 rallies in a week. And I never will forget, I went and I knelt at the side of the sanctuary, and I prayed, and I said, God, this vision's bigger than me. I'll do it. I'll step out. But it's bigger than me. I can't do this on my own. And he said, Steve, you know how you do it? I said, yes. I really would like to know. He said, you need to get in contact with this person and do this. Then you need to get in contact with this person and do this kind of rally. And then you need to get in contact with this person in these churches and do this rally. And that way you have 3 different rallies, 3 different sets of youth, and make a great impact for the kingdom of God. And ended up, I did. And every rally built on the next rally. The last rally, we had over 250 people show up. And every rally had excellent attendance. God did a unique thing. It just blew my mind. But it was bigger than me. Is it possible or is it probable? If it's possible, okay. It can happen, you know. If you have a goal, a vision, my goal, Pastor Steve, is that I want to witness to the first aliens that we find in America. Well, okay, space aliens, that's probably not possible. Okay, let's deal with something in reality. Is it possible? Now is it probable? And God may take you through something that is more probable. For you, it may be winning 4 people to the Lord. But you know what? The good thing about God is that next year, you know what He might do? He might impress upon you, now next year I want you to win 14 people to the Lord. And then the next year I want you to win 40 people to the Lord. And do you see how, as you are faithful in the little, God will increase and make you and give you responsibility to be faithful in the great. That's how God works. And He takes that little bit of faith that you have to meet the needs of those 4 and will multiply it out and stretch you like a rubber band. He'll stretch you. He'll stretch you. And He'll challenge you. And that way when you wake up in the morning, you'll have something to pray about. Lord, I have 4 people to win to you this year. And you have a goal. And you say, how am I going to do this? Well, you need to start by talking to people. You need to start by at least acknowledging the fact that you need God to act upon these people's hearts and lives in a way that their spirits will be thirsty. They'll recognize the need that they have for God in their lives. Because the Bible says no man is drawn unto the Lord by basically wisdom or words. They're drawn by the Spirit. So you are enacting God's Spirit to move in your life. And I can tell you this, that is exciting. Because you never know what God's Spirit's going to do in your life. You'll be walking in the hall. Somebody will come up. And they're just crying their eyes out. And you'll say, what's going on? You ever had somebody like that? You can't understand a word they're saying. They're so upset, so distraught. And I've had several people, they come up and I'll say, yes, what is it? We need prayer. I need prayer. I've had students come up to me. I probably could have lost my job. But they come up to me and they say, Mr. Martin, yeah, I know that you're a believer. I know that you're a Christian. I know you're a minister. But I need prayer. I need prayer. My family is in disarray. Total disarray. I don't know what's going to happen. I need prayer. And I'll stop right there. And my excuse is, if a student asks me to pray with them, I'm going to pray with them. Now, I'm not going to go walk up to people and start laying hands on their foreheads and say, I'm praying for you right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of that demon. No, I'm not going to do that. There's some of them I'd like to pray that demons come out of them, but no. I'm not going to do that. I believe that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I believe God's a gentleman. He allows you to come and go with limited responsibility and free will. I do the same. So your personal vision, is it attainable? Possible? Probable? Number two, is it measurable? Okay? Very important item on there. Is it measurable? And the only reason why I say that is it something you can say, aha, I've arrived. Okay? If you can't say I've arrived, you'll never know when you get there. If you want to measure success, you have to have something to measure it with. It has to be measurable. Okay? If you had down here, I will lead people to the Lord. People. And so you may lead two. And the next year you say, I will lead people to the Lord. Two. Next year I will lead people to two. So you're not challenging yourself. You're not growing. You're not moving on. And you'll never know. You'll think, well, two, I don't know. Did I really have success this year? You know, this is the fourth year I've only led two people to the Lord. I don't know if I'm very successful as a believer or not. I think I am. I don't know. I don't feel successful. That's because you know inside you, God's challenging you to do more. Pick a number. Challenge yourself. Challenge God. God, use me to witness. Lead people to you. Is it measurable? I will lead four people to the Lord in 1 year. That gives me the quota, and it lets me know when it's over. I think that's a pretty good vision. Number three, and this is a very important part of a personal vision, is it validated by Scripture? Is it validated by Scripture? Let's analyze what we have. I will lead four people to the Lord in 1 year. Is that something that is validated by Scripture? Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. Sounds pretty good. He who wins souls is wise. Now you need to be careful, because some things, you know, in the Scripture, you may want it to come out saying something else totally different. You know, you could say, you could look at the Scripture where it says Judas went and hung himself, and then you go to another Scripture that says, go ye therefore and do likewise. Now, that would not be scripturally based. And that would be interpreting Scripture totally wrong. So you need to look and say, okay, you know, winning souls. Is winning souls something that God wants us to do? Is it biblical? And Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. How about 2 Peter 3:10? The Lord is long-suffering to us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So, it is validated by Scripture. It is obtainable. And it is measurable. Second step. You need to take steps to see that your personal vision will blossom. You need to take steps to see that your personal vision will blossom. Now, when I received the basically, it was more of a goal so much as it was a vision. The vision was that I wanted to see people touched by God through this event that we were hosting. It took weeks and weeks, and it cost, I believe at that time, it was an $18,000 event. 1 week, $18,000. And it actually, if you put in everything, it cost us more than that. And as I started to pray about it, God really said, okay, don't be overwhelmed by the bigness, the greatness of this. Look at the prerequisites. Look at the mini goals in all this. Look at the process. Because I believe God is a God of order. God is a God of process. God is a God of planning. And I never will forget my grandfather, who he just recently, he passed away just 2 weeks ago, almost. It's been almost 2 weeks. Matter of fact, we were at his funeral last Saturday. And I never will forget, I'd call him up, and I'd have problems with my car. And I like to work on my car myself because I want to save $65 an hour. So I'd work on my car because I could. My grandfather was chief mechanic for Exxon Aviation. He was the man in charge of all of Exxon's aircraft maintenance. And I'd ask him, said, Pawpaw? Yes. I have a problem with my car. The transmission won't shift out of second gear. And as you could imagine, that could be bad if you're going to go over 20 miles an hour. And the first thing he says, well, is it a Ford, Chrysler, or GM? And I said, well, it's a GM, General Motors. It's a Pontiac. Need to get underneath there. On the transmission, you have a round cover, and it is kept on there by a little clamp. And inside that clamp and inside that cover, there is a proportioning valve that is run by a centrifugal force that it pops out. He goes, what you need to do is go underneath there, pull that off, and get to it. And once you get to that valve, call me back, and I'll step you through the rest of the process. I'm thinking, how does he know what the underneath of my car looks like? It's because he's done it before. But sure enough, I go underneath the car, and there it is, just the way he had explained it. And he went through this process. It's a Chevy. It has a proportioning valve. It's on the left-hand side. And he goes through the process. And so then he tells me what to do and how to do it and the steps. Next thing you know, I've got this thing off. He says, now, this probably has metal shavings in it because you probably messed up some of your clutches. And so you need to take those shavings out of there, clear it out, put it back in, put the O-ring seal back on it, put the clamp back on it, you're good to go. And you may want to go ahead and take your filter out and change it out because this probably has some contaminants in it. And so I did all that. Next thing you know, I'm driving down the road. It's shifting out of second into third gear. And I'm going faster than 20 miles an hour. But it is a process that my grandfather taught me on working on cars. Same thing with life. You have a process. You have a process. When you write a paper, do you just sit down and start writing? No. You go and you do research. You look up articles. You look up all these different things. And then you take them and you document everything so that you have the author. You have all the citing and all the work citing for your references. You do all that. Unless you get on the internet and you go buy somebody's paper that says already written. And that's cheating, so stop it. But there's a process that you go through. Same thing with life. There's a process. You have those talents. You have the capability, my goodness, the power that is here, that is available within each and every one of you. It would be mind-boggling if you could see exactly what God sees, the potential in every one of you. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. You say, well, Pastor Steve, someday when I become an adult and responsible and more independent, I'll venture out and I'll do those things for God. If you're not doing them now, let me give you a little hint. If you're not doing them for now, when you have a lot more time than what you do when you become an adult, chances are you won't be doing them then. That's what I've learned. Over 20-something years of ministry. You want me to tell you how things usually go? Not so much at this church. I think it's wonderful what I see, you know, the college group coming back and getting involved. That's awesome. The regular trend for teenagers in church, junior high, they're excited about being in youth group because why? They're out of children's church. Now they're in youth group. After junior high, they get into high school and they're like, hey, I'm kind of heading up and leading this youth group now. I'm big boss. Then I'm a sophomore. You know what the word sophomore means? I think I know everything, but I don't. And so they're walking around because they're not a freshman, but they think they know everything. And I told you what I told my son when he says, I know better than you. I said, well, then you need to move out right now because life's too short. You need to move out while you know everything because eventually you're going to get older and figure out shit you don't. So get out there now because you can be a lot more effective while you know everything. You wouldn't even have to go to college. And then about the sophomore and junior year, right around the junior year, they get their car, they get independent. Next thing you know, they're getting these little part-time jobs, and they find excuses to become distant from the body and from the family of God. And you start to rarely see them stepping foot in church. And what's funny, and I hope you don't take this wrong, every time I become real with a youth ministry or with a group, what usually happens is they hear me and they go, wow, he's right on track. And they end up fulfilling exactly what I say. Usually, not always. And next thing you know, they kind of drop on out. They get disinterested. They want to go out into where the grass is greener. They want their freedom to do what they want to do, where they want to do it, when they want to do it, with whoever they want to do it. Freedom comes with a price. Everything you do and everything you say comes with a price. You can either invest it or you can waste it. A wonderful example of the prodigal son took all that he had and wasted it. Wasted it. Had a great ending, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to always have a great ending. Pray about your vision. You need to pray about your vision every day. You need to break your vision up into its smaller components so that you create manageable goals, that you can have faith and hope that, you know, I'm going to make this. I'm going to lead four people to the Lord. Here it is. It's already been 3 months and I've already led one person to the Lord. And I've got four or five friends and I've got several other people I'm praying for. And I'm inviting people to come to church. That's an easy way to win them to the Lord. You need to come see this crazy pastor that I have come to my church. And he speaks on Sunday mornings every once in a while, at least once a month. And he brings donuts. You need to come see him. He's really pretty funny sometimes. Because why? I'm going to give an invitation for salvation. I am. Every service. I don't care if I know everybody in here or believe that everybody in here is saved. I'm going to give an opportunity for you to ask Jesus to forgive you of your Lord of your sins and to be your Lord and Savior. I just am. So break your vision up into smaller components and create manageable goals. Move into action. Win the loss. Pray more. fast, memorize, increase your character. What do we do after the vision has come to pass? And God has allowed His Spirit to reign and to bless our efforts. We just say, well, that was fun. Just going to kind of wander on off into life. Have you ever sometimes, and this is just a kind of an aside, I like that word. An aside. An addendum. Extra cream topping and a cherry. It's not the banana split. It's just a cream topping and a cherry. Think about this. Sometimes I watch these video clips that they show of people walking through New York and they're bouncing off of each other. You know, and I'm thinking right now they're bouncing off and they're all sweaty and hot because they're having this like major heat wave. And so they're all bouncing, sweaty, and there's sweat flopping everywhere. And people, oh man. And it's like super, it's like walking through a giant sauna. It'd be horrible. There's like millions and millions of people there. And New York's like this island. And it's like just all these people. And I wonder, that's just so many people. And I think about this when I talk about my vision with your life and your purpose for being. And I look at all those people, I'm thinking, what percentage of those people actually have a purpose for being? What percentage of those people have a purpose? Is their purpose just to make lots of money working there on Wall Street in those big buildings to build up an empire so they can be king of their domain so that one day they can be old and die and nobody would even care? Wouldn't even matter. What is their purpose? What is their purpose? Because you see them walking around, they got to have a purpose because they're all going somewhere. They're all doing something. But there's a lot more to life than going to lunch. A lot more to life than going to work. Today, are they fulfilling their purpose? And what happens when God has fulfilled His vision, His purpose for you for that moment? What do you do? Do you just say, well, I fulfilled my purpose. Go ahead, God. Take me. I'm done. Finished. I believe that you come through cycles of your life. And that God will continue to use you. And that He will give you several visions throughout your lifetime. Several callings. Several transitions. And once you have obtained one, here's what you need to do. I've got a plan of action. Number one, rejoice. You need to praise God that He has allowed you to go through and do what you did. Because it's by His grace that you are able. So praise Him with a song, praise Him with your actions. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Number two, reflect on the positive memories. How many of y'all ever once in a while you hear a song that you heard back when, like 10 years ago? And you click back to that memory and it's a good feeling. And it's like, that was really cool. Man, I wish I could go back to that time and you just remember the good stuff that was going on and some of the fun that you had. Maybe it was with some friends that you had and some memories that you made either in school or over the summer when you're out of school or doing something or doing this or an activity or an event. You're thinking, man, I wish I could go back and relive that moment. You know why you wish that? Because that memory makes you feel good. And that memory, guess what? It can never be taken away. Nobody can steal away that memory. They can take the pictures. They can, the videos can wear out. The pictures can ruin. But the memories will last a lifetime. Reflect. Reflect on the good things of God. Reflect on the wonderful things that He's done. Next, you need to rest and recharge. Eat, sleep, meditate upon God's goodness. Get your energy back. Relax. It's going to be okay. Because the next thing you need to do, you need to run with the new vision that God has given for you. You've got to run with a new vision. Because without a vision, the people will perish. Without a vision, you have no purpose. Without a purpose, you won't be able to plan, to set the goals, to set a vision, and to make the new memories. Making those memories. I'd like for us to bow our heads. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. I ask, Lord, that You would help us in setting goals. Not just generic goals, but, Lord, biblical goals. Godly goals. Many of us in here today, You've already given goals. And we've just kind of set them aside, going after our own personal goals. Lord, the sum of our life and all that You have done in building our character and our talents and our abilities and meshing our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies and our emotional bodies all together, we've got to have that axle, the purpose. The reason for being. Otherwise, it can all just be going through the motions. Not building positive memories, but just surviving emotionally, spiritually. Not conquering any challenges. Not adding to Your kingdom. I pray today, Lord, that You would help each and every one of us to set aside time to hear from You and get a personal vision on how You want to reign in our life. And we would see the beauty of Your growth and of Your Spirit throughout our entire life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I want God to speak to me a new vision, a vision for me, for my purpose. If that's you here today, just raise your hand. You're not raising to me, you're raising to God. Thank You for that hand. Thank You. Thank You. Praise God. Praise God. Also, if you're here today, put your hands down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not sure that if I was to die, I would go to heaven. Oh, but I want to be sure. I want to be able to talk to God. I want to talk with Him. I want to praise Him. I want to be led by Him. If you're here today and you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, I got news for you. Jesus died for your sins. He died so that you could have life, not just regular life, but life abundant. That's what the Bible says. A life abundant. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I have not asked Jesus as to be my Lord and Savior to forgive me my sins, but I want to. If you're here today and that is what is on your heart, I'd like for you to raise your hand right now and we'll say a prayer. Anybody out here? Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You did die for our sins and that You have given us a spirit of grace to anoint our footsteps and establish them in your righteousness. And we ask that we would humble ourselves and turn from our selfish ways and follow after you. And that you would impart a personal vision seeking your goals, your grace in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.